It would seem the way the self negotiates life has become increasingly important as to how others see us. Our image, driven by the medium of culture, gender, social rules and boundaries, to the lifestyle of celebrities. Well, I don't know about you, but I've never even heard of most of them. Don't know what quite constitutes a celebrity. The role models, and how can I not use the example of football fans? Everyone is included. No, not everyone. But we are all seemingly included, prepared to accept their eye-watering salaries of the idols while they struggle with high season ticket prices. And the children must have the kit. And then the team go and change the kit, the colour or the style. We must have the latest fashion, seasonal colour, must have the trend of the day. Where one needs to wear the label on the outside for people like me to see the significance of what one is wearing. Keeping up appearances ends up being really expensive as last year's trends sit wasting away in the wardrobe. And then there's the media that say young people worry about their image as though everyone in this age group is included. And then we have the language on diversity that risks imposing the idea we must not be seen to be different, as though being different is second best. What if we were able to resist our cultural negatives and encourage ourselves and other people to consider becoming an image from God's perspective? The one that teaches our identity is not fixed by accident of birth, class distinction, gender, colour, how clever we are, nor even on what roles or positions we hold. It is through the experience of the Canaanite woman we gain an insight into the theological significance of how faith goes beyond the cultural and social context, as well as those aspects of gender, peer pressure, self-greed and jealousy. Her memory of learning about ancient Israel, in particular the promises made, threatened and fulfilled, provided the parameters of safety and challenge for her to act with courage and freedom. She had learnt about the hope from the history of exclusion and loss that had led people to a new way to live, that is being part of God's story. And this enabled her to play a decisive role in her dialogue. I understand this dialogue is best understood from the aspect of belonging to a particular time and place. For she had learnt the history that for centuries the Canaanite land had been fought over and conquered by the Israelites, one being King David on the 14th, 13th century BC. And these invasions had seen the Canaanite people being pushed seaward, which resulted in them only being able to retain the coastal strip of North Palestine and South Syria. By accounts, they were, by nature, not aggressive warriors, but merchants. They could write, and they had Greek influences. The important cities were Jebus, which we know as Jerusalem, and the maritime cities of Tyre and Sidon to the north of Galilee near Mount Lebanon, which bordered on Judea. Strategic sites for trade and military. But despite having a history of these cultures, Israel and the Canaanite mixing, in their differences, Israel still regarded them as uncouth pagans. No wonder God wanted the Israelites to build a covenant community, which would mean God's obligation to be present and provide a life that was good, while the expectation from the Israelites was that they would live by God's terms and conditions. And we all know that when we set up insurances and subscriptions, read the terms and conditions. But milestones in life were, and still are, being peppered by being exposed by the perverse, corrupt, the injustices, swallowed up by others who are not prepared to follow God, and sadly even those, as we've seen with the disciples, still do not cover themselves with glory. And all this can lead up to stir our anxieties, gives up resistance to change, put up defences, and we fear to fail. It is far from easy to believe suffering is part of God's story and plan. And that, my friends, does require a great deal of faith. So up to this point, Jesus' ministry has been holy in Israel, teaching the people to foster the habits of worship, the Heavenly Father, being pastoral, compassion and care to others, how to reach out with their mission, and how to evangelize by spreading the good news. So here Jesus has crossed the physical border from Israel to Cana. And being a Jew would know that no respectable Jew would speak with a woman outside his own family, especially a Gentile woman. But piece by piece through this dialogue, the woman's understanding penetrates Jesus. Lord, oh, this is no Lord King, Lord Chieftain, no Lord Landowner. She made it very clear she knew exactly whom she addressed. She followed it with Son of David. She made the connection from Jesus back to King David, who it is believed fulfilled the prophecy of hope that we find in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. There will be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom, and Jesus is the supreme king, who will bring justice, righteousness, and peace forever. Lord, Son of David, she lets Jesus know she understands he is the Prince of Peace. And within her remarkable display of respect, she welcomed the self-examination in the place of transparency with the language of hope. Have mercy on me. But why was Jesus silent? Well, just before this event, Jesus had spoken of the need not to defile the words that come out of our mouths. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. So maybe he was giving himself some time before responding. Don't jump in and get the wrong end of the conversation. Hold back, think before we engage mouth. Maybe it was time for the woman, in case she wanted to say anything else. So Jesus didn't want to potentially cause more suffering, or at worst, that she would leave unaided. Or perhaps it was his silent prayer, asking the Father for guidance in this new land outside Israel. And perhaps it was to allow the woman to understand the unspoken word. For Jesus did not say, go away, or no, he would not help. The learning is that silence brings a power of hope beyond human understanding without losing the enriched differences. This silence for her gave her the encouragement to come closer to Jesus. And the dialogue continues. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Was he talking to the woman, the father, or himself? Plus he was asking, what am I doing here? What am I to do? Whether she understood or not, she kept her focus on Jesus. She came and knelt. Lord, help me. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord. She seems to be helping Jesus know that she understood the theological significance of what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. So entering this new culture, Jesus was working out the will of the Father in both Israel and Cana without diluting his faithfulness in both lands. It's about being right in balance in life that parallels God's terms and conditions. That is how Joseph understood his dreams as a parallel to God's image. For he did move from being a landowner In one dream, he was a shepherd. In another, he was a farmer. Either way, he was on the land. And he did go on to possess the combination of great power and grace. His life gave him a distinctive gentleness, and he was willing to be trampled on by the devil as he resisted the easy way to success, and although undeserved, accepted the punishment without bitterness. So here he is, face to face with his brothers, who did not recognize him. But once he had introduced himself, they were confronted with their past actions. "I'm Joseph, and I know it was you. You who gained financially by selling me." Then they hear, "I forgive you." I wonder if the forgiveness came from seeing their shamed faces and the inner fear that in his status, it was acceptable to avenge those who had done wrongs against you. But to give forgiveness from such deep hurt and sufferance is far from easy. But it's also hard to accept the forgiveness, because then we admit to our errors. But the forgiveness when given in faith, and the receiving of forgiveness in faith, is a way that enabled an estranged past to be overcome, so that the brothers were reunited in happiness. It's rather like understanding faith, as I see it, as a process working out our own Wozjig puzzle, that's the jigsaw backwards. We have to use our imagination and scriptural clues provided in order to fit our pieces, making a different picture from the one in front of us. Each piece supplies a little more information by remembering the past in order to trust the moment of change. It is a picture that we will always have with us to look back at the snapshots of our story on the falls and blessings of life that offer the hope Christ is still with us. The more I read around the history of Israel, making connections to the Old Testament, I find I need to look inside out from the strong age-old associations and conflicts in order to try to make sense of the world today. For the history of Israel is also our history, just as it was for the woman. So for me, what does it say about the Middle East, with these conflicts and wars between Israel, Palestine, the Gaza Strip, Syria? Are they going back to Abraham when he passed the test and God granted Abraham and his offspring land? Or should we choose Jacob, who was Joseph's father? His time of being tested, God changed his name to Israel. Land, people. How do we identify ourselves to God's promise that he will help us choose the way to follow and live well? Then we have Russia, or maybe is it more just Putin, with Ukraine. Their ethnic background is similar, but Putin prefers to use the cultural context from another country in another time to justify his ambition to rule the world. And then he has that desire at any cost. He has to gain southern coastal areas. Up to now, he was landlocked. Well, he's got Crimea, but that's not enough. He's got to have more. And what about the Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland? Is God different on either side? When we shape our faith from emotions, the jealousy and greed, where we live in the place of social context, who we are as in gender, or the cultural setting of traditions from a time long ago, we have no idea of the original problem. We will be thrown into circumstances from people more willing to rupture our happiness. In a very broken world, it feels we are lost to any reconciliation. But remember the woman's openness to be transparent. "Have mercy on me." In our confessional prayer, our openness, we use the plural language, we have, we did, we said. My invite is to seek a place to have your moment with Christ and find the courage and freedom to offer your request that surrounds, "Lord, help me to find the peace to endure my suffering. And in silence, wait to hear what the I needs to change in order to receive the blessing. Then, as God calls us as individuals and a community into the unknown tomorrow, we can be assured in our tiny corner of the world, our relationship with God and each other is intact, and his presence is constantly beside us. So as you wander through your life's pieces, to remember, to listen, to learn and understand God's terms and conditions, please, I hope and pray, you will not unsubscribe, but read the small print on the pages that offer us the scriptural clues. Oh, and one last thing. Please don't forget to tick the box, I am not a robot. Amen.